I remember having an argument, many arguments, with my husband because he was, you know, always had his entree, his meat, his red meat, his chicken. He had a vegetable, he had a salad. And yes, he had a lot of carbs too. But I remember having arguments like, we don't need chicken. We don't need meat. Like, we just fast forward. Well, his way of eating was more appropriate than what I was doing, and what I was forcing on our daughters was not so appropriate because I was getting nutritionally deprived of certain nutrients. I was anemic, and so I did go back to eating meat.
Tune in, folks. Are you fed up with feeling off kilter? Ready to reclaim your vitality and seize control of your hormones? Then listen closely. Hi, I'm Dr. Anna Kabeca, and I'm here to guide you in mastering your hormones once and for all. Join me in my exclusive 8-week program, Magic Menopause, where you will uncover proven strategies to naturally balance your hormones, tackle menopause symptoms head on, and regain mastery over your health. It's time for you to learn my proven method and become empowered. Whether you're navigating pre, mid, or post menopause, this program is tailored to transform your life. Don't let hormonal imbalances hinder your progress any longer. Take this first step towards revitalization today by signing up for my hormone masterclass at dranna.com. Let's embark on this journey together. Welcome back to the Girlfriend Doctor Show. So I like to joke about being naughty in my 90s. And in order to be naughty in my 90s, what do I have to be doing today? And if there's something that I want to be doing in the future, I better be doing it now. So one of those things is horseback riding, and how important it is for me to look at life with a sense of humor and a physical activity that is unlimited, hopefully as capable, if not more capable, as I am today. And with that in mind, I wanted to bring to you a dear friend, a colleague, a mentor, and a coach who I have known for over a decade. And she has been leading in the frontier of health coaches. And today we're going to talk about what it like a health coach institute that she started at age 65, you guys. A health coach institute that's trained thousands, publishing research, and now she's in her mid-70s. And so the vitality that we can have for our life, you know, doesn't stop at any age. Certainly, you know, I like to say there's no retirement in the Bible, so not at a retirement age. And so it's important to look at what we're doing, how we're doing it, and learn some of these lessons. So today with introducing to you Dr. Sandra Sheinbaum. She trains people to become functional medicine health coaches and helps practitioners and businesses hire them. She believes that a health coach as a behavior specialist is key to combating chronic disease and reducing healthcare cost. She is the founder and CEO of the Functional Medicine Coaching Academy, which is a collaboration with the Institute for Functional Medicine, which is I trained way back in 2004 with the Institute of Functional Medicine. I did their IFMCP certification course. So I'm really excited to bring Sandra here with you today. She is a well-known author. She also has a podcast, and she, again, is the founder. She's like the gold standard in functional medicine coaching. So, Sandra, welcome to the Girlfriend Doctor Show.
Thank you so, so much, Dr. Anna. It is such a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And so I want to just start out with like the lessons you learned in your 70s. I want to touch on how you founded your academy, your coaching academy in your mid-60s.
I think first and foremost is curiosity. Because when we lose curiosity, then we're no longer learning. And learning new things is essential if we don't stay stuck, if we want to thrive and we want to grow. Both, that is, we can grow new brain cells, we can get our muscles stronger, we can gain new knowledge, new life lessons. And I am always learning new life lessons, even though, as you said, I am in my mid-70s. And I always loved learning. And so I naturally was a teacher is my first career. And then I went on and I was a psychologist for about 40 years. And then when I was 65 and my colleagues were retiring and I was thinking about, should I just continue? And I had a practice. I was helping people with health. I was a health psychologist. And so I was helping people with physical conditions, have a different mindset, have the offering hope, offering relaxation strategies. And people were coming to me and saying, you know, what you do, like, this would be wonderful if you trained health coaches. And there were coaches who had been trained at other programs. And they were saying, you know, we're just not feeling confident enough to go out and really be effective coaches. So we decided then to launch the Functional Medicine Coaching Academy, and it was a collaboration with the Institute for Functional Medicine. So they train the doctors like you, and we train the health coaches. So that was number one, curiosity. And it was entering into this new venture with wanting to learn because there were so many things I did not know. First and foremost, I did not know much about business. I had a solo private practice as a psychologist. And so that was easy. But when I talked about like hiring people, running an organization, and all of the different facets that went into starting a business, I had to learn. And so I joined mastermind groups. I hired people who knew more than I did in many of these areas. And so that was really, really important, keeping that curiosity, because we've seen as people get older, they stay stuck. They are not curious about meeting new people. Oh, I have my circle of friends. I don't need to go out and meet new people. I don't need to learn new things. I have my hobbies that I had for many years. But learning new things is always wonderful. And of course, movement. Zest is my character strength. So I am always moving. I'm standing while I'm recording this. I am always moving around, and that also equates to physically moving in the form of exercise. I do many, many different things throughout the day.
I love that. So like you would say, lessons you've learned in your 70s, really the first thing, the most important thing for you has been maintaining your curiosity and not exactly setting any limits or boundaries or limiters on yourself.
That's correct. Like even curiosity as far as what if I try a new approach to conversing with somebody, perhaps using the coach approach, we're asking them questions. I was in a conversation with someone just last night, and she had been a teacher for many years, and she said she was retiring. So I tried a new way of communicating as a follow-up, like, well, what would you be most interested in doing after you retire, instead of jumping right in and giving her advice, or, oh, you should be doing this, or research has shown this is helpful for people who are retiring. So even a curiosity in terms of, well, I wonder what will happen if I have a new approach to offering something. For example, I am a new grandma. I have twins who are now 18 months. And so with my adult daughter, sometimes what would happen? I'm curious to see if I, instead of making a suggestion, and of course, I want to avoid telling her how to parent, if I asked her a question instead. And so is even things like that, but also curiosity in terms of what are my limits? Like, why wonder if I were doing a pull-up, I was at the gym, and I'm curious, could I go a pound heavier? I wonder if I could do it. And then, of course, setting the mindset of, yes, I'm really strong. I can do it. And then also another thing that I have taught people for years, this comes from positive psychology, what was the worst thing that could happen? And in this case, I had to be really prudent to say, yes, I was doing it assisted. And so if I can't make it, I'm not going to fall down to the floor. I have an assist where I could safely get off that position and not fall and hurt myself.
Yes. And so did you ever face, because you do exude confidence ever since I've known you, you have this confidence about you. But were there things like self-limiting thoughts that you yourself, like in menopause or perimenopause, that struggled with? Like, how did you overcome that?
So I was very fortunate when I was a psychologist. I trained with the late Dr. Albert Ellis, and he is considered one of the fathers of cognitive behavior therapy. And this is an approach where you catch your thinking. and you learn how to think logically, rationally. And because we tend to upset ourselves, and I was doing this big time, in terms of how I was speaking to myself, we called self-talk. I can't do it. This is awful. This is terrible. This is the worst thing. Elevating something that is relatively minor to a catastrophe. And then you start to dispute that with yourself, where you are focusing on perspective. Because in the big scheme of things, this is minor, this is inconsequential, or you dispute it where you find the opposite. Let me give you an example. So you say to yourself, this is really awful. Like, let's say you made a mistake. Let's say I was giving a speech and I forgot what I was going to say. And I lost my train of thought. And I had that thought, which is your self-talk, oh, I'm really just not doing well here. This is horrible. I'm just like really losing it right now. And then you stop and you focus on what would be the worst thing that could happen. It's basically saying, so what? So what if I made a mistake? So what if I forgot what I was going to say? Will I remember this in 5 years? How about in 10 years? Is this the worst thing? Is it worth dying over? They used to ask that question in cardiac rehab to help people with stress management, like to really take it down a notch where you say, yeah, it's disappointing. You know, it's disappointing that this happened, or I would have preferred that I had a much smoother talk. Like, let's say I'm talking to you right now and I could have that thought pop in like, oh, I'm rambling. I'm really like, don't know what I'm talking about. And that's going to cause anxiety at a very low level. You're going to start getting stirred up, and that's going to impede your ability to think clearly about what you're saying. And so there's all of these things that I say to myself that are putting it in perspective. Like, often it is, so what? Like, it's, what if I don't do a good job? You know, what if I lose internet right now? Or, you know, all these things like, oh, this can't be happening. This is horrible. Or people will jump, I'll hear people all the time, oh, I'm having the worst day, particularly with aging. I heard this with someone last night. Oh, it's just no fun getting old. And I want to stop them. And I want to say, I'm having fun. As opposed to anti-aging, it's pro-aging. I don't wake up every day and think about how old I am. I just look at the day with excitement. My mother used to say this, as soon as your feet hit the floor, today's going to be a good day. And then I learned that the great behavioral scientist, BJ Fogg, says that and advises people to say that. As soon as you wake up, today's going to be a great day. So you are programming yourself.
Yeah, it reminds me, Sandra, my ex-husband, he would jump out of the bed and play that song, I Feel Good. And that was like, that's the song that was played. That's the alarm that wakes up. Yes. That's his attitude, you know, hitting the floor in the morning. And I think that's just so beautiful. It's like, first of all, what's an alternate reality that we create ourselves? You know, we can be based on love or fear, you know, love or hate, you know, the gratitude or greed. I mean, it's like the concepts, it's a choice. And what I hear you saying is that it's a choice, the choice to be curious, the choice to the positive self-talk that we can give ourselves. I mean, the self-talk, we have a choice. Is it going to be loving or is it going to be hateful? Is it going to be kind or critical? And I like that. And then there's, I always say, like, you know, right, I'm 57 now, I'll be 58 this year. The energy body is good, right? The energy body, like our energy body doesn't age. The spirit within us doesn't age. And in the terminology, when we use, you know, the trend of anti-aging or aging gracefully, the words we use like menopause versus the Japanese word second spring, I mean, changing the attitude around what we're doing is powerful. So I love those lessons from your 70s. And before I move on to my next question for you, is there anything, any other great lessons in your 70s that you've learned that you want to share?
Sure. I really learned, well, first of all, I think it is letting go, constantly letting go of what doesn't serve you and not ruminating. Because I do that big time. In fact, there's a genetic link. When I did some genetic testing, there's actually evidence that you may carry that gene for ruminating. So something would happen, let's say, and it's typically around family, or it could be work related. And for me, it's often like I made a mistake. I said something out of turn, or I forgot something, or I didn't do something that well enough, or I just had some circumstance happen. And it's usually around making a mistake. And because I do tend to rush into things, and that's a lifelong trait, but not letting it go. And just with the perspective of time allows you to see how inconsequential so much of what we focus on in terms of what we're worried about, what we're upsetting ourselves. And I have contemporaries, friends who are still holding on to grudges for something that happened years ago. And so just the futility of that. And so I often focus on where do I want to put my attention? And there is even just letting go, just saying to yourself, letting go. And so I've learned that. The other is to really focus a lot on nurturing myself. And a big, big part of that is adequate nutrition. And first and foremost, protein. Our colleague, our mutual friend, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, talks about this a lot. So to preserve.
Okay, let's be honest. How many grams of protein do you get per day?
I follow her and I get 1 gram per pound of ideal body weight. So I'm 90 pounds. So I try and get at least 90, but sometimes my protein needs increase and I will aim for 100. And I've talked with her about that. And also not to buy into trends. So yes, protein is trending right now,
right,
but intermittent fasting. And I had been doing that in real. And she said to me, like, what are you doing, Sandy? Like, you can't get enough protein. You need to, your weight, you need to be eating breakfast. So now I have a huge smoothie. I do sheep milks, yogurt, goat yogurt, and put in whey protein powder and creatine. And so that first and foremost. And I went
because I'm telling you, 100 grams of protein a day. I mean, like, and for me, it would be like 140 grams of protein on 5e. So like, that's like, those are some days. I mean, and true, when you're just doing one meal a day or carnivore, it's hard to get more than 50 grams of protein a day. I mean, it really is hard.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, like, if you think of real food, what are some of the densest protein real food options that you like?
Yeah. So this has been a real evolution for me because I had many years, which I regret, when I was a vegan, I was a raw vegan. I had been macrobiotic way back in the day.
It's hard to get vegans and vegetarians hormonally healthy. I'll just tell you that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. And I switched. I started eating fish. I started adding back, and now red meat, which I was so against. And so that is another life lesson. I think one of the biggest, one of my mid-70s, and that is to not be dogmatic about something, because I have that history of going back and thinking I was so right. I remember having an argument, many arguments, with my husband, because he was, you know, always had his entree, his meat, his red meat, his chicken. He had a vegetable, he had a salad. And yes, he had a lot of carbs too. But I remember having arguments like, we don't need chicken. We don't need meat. Like, we just, all the vegetarian. Fast forward, well, maybe his way of eating was more appropriate than what I was doing, and what I was forcing on our daughters was not so appropriate because I was getting nutritionally deprived of certain nutrients. I was anemic. And so I did go back to eating meat. I've done a lot of teaching on nutritional psychology, and the psychology of eating also encompasses gender differences. And I see this from women all the time, particularly those of my generation and the generation after that. Not so much with the very young women today, but I see this with not ordering protein heavy at restaurants. To me, it still seems a little unnatural, because I would always just order a salad and, you know, little protein on the, like, over the salad, little strips of chicken perhaps, or salmon. And that's what I see my friends doing. They can't get nearly enough protein. And so now I will order the big steak. But if we look at gender differences, even like restaurants, like if you have a in my day planned many bridal showers and luncheons. You'd never have for a ladies' lunch, you know, big steaks. But the guys would go out, and of course I'm talking about very traditional male-female patterns here, so that's a caveat. But traditionally, you look at steakhouses, and they're dark, and they're more so-called masculine in appearance, as opposed to women's had these tea lounges, you know, back in the turn of the century, on the 1900s. They'd have little cucumber sandwiches and very dainty, delicate food because women were supposed to be dainty, and they weren't supposed to be eating huge steaks and going to the gym and powerlifting. So I think those traditions, especially in my generation, are still with us. And I'll go out to dinner with someone and I'll order, you know, the big protein, big piece of fish or red meat, and they'll order a salad.
Yeah. Well, and that awareness, right? Because lessons learned over time. And, you know, on that note, too, like the higher protein, which, I mean, just give me a day of your protein. Just like you said, the morning smoothie, and you're adding creatine to it. And I'm sure, you know, protein powder, a big steak sometime middle of the day. Then what makes the rest of the 90 grams of protein?
Yeah, so I'll try and get 50 grams in my power smoothie. Our mutual friend JJ Virgin calls it that, power smoothie. So I used to use a water or a coconut milk, and now I found this sheep's milk yogurt because I don't do a lot of cow's milk, but sheep's milk, dairy milk, and then I'll use a goat's whey protein, or I keep switching off protein powders just for diversity. And so I will do usually a whey isolate or a goat's milk whey isolate. And then collagen, I'll add some collagen, I'll add the creatine in there.
I'm going to interrupt for a second. So does collagen count? I mean, it's not a complete protein. So because you're adding it with a complete protein, does that still count for protein?
Yeah, that's controversial. I've heard it both ways. And I've heard some people say yes, but I've also, you know, that I'm doing it more for the benefits of the actual collagen. Yeah. Yeah. Or sometimes if I do make my own bone broth, I use chicken feet, which gets it to gel. And when I have a batch made, I will sometimes use that as the base of my smoothie. So that typically is breakfast. And I used to, and this is one of the things I have learned at my age now, is that I need that nutrition first. So I'm not going to do heavy cardio, or I do my yoga. I do my inversions first because I cannot do that after I've eaten, or even the smoothie. That does, try doing a handstand or a headstand with a full stomach, it doesn't work so well. So I will do that practice fasted, and then I will have this power smoothie. And then for lunch, I will typically have some eggs. Or if I've had something left over, I don't do a lot of leftovers because I'm afraid of the histamines collecting. But if it's just from last night, I might have leftover salmon or a hamburger, for example, and I'll add that. I'll do that for lunch. And then for dinner, I love to cook. And so I will rotate, and I'll typically rotate between often salmon, or I will do grass-fed beef, and I'll do just try different varieties of grass-fed beef or lamb or organ meats. I do chopped liver. I always have that in the freezer. So I will buy grass-fed liver, and then I'll saute it with tons of onions, and then I put it in the food processor and make a pate, which is the way I can get down liver. So that's a big change. I'm trying to do more liver.
You got to try my recipe of cardamom seared beef liver.
Ooh,
really good.
Sounds so delicious.
With cardamom, my daughter loves it. And so one of those things that we can add into our diet that is so good. There's so many benefits to it. And so strength training is a big passion of yours. And here you are, mid-70s, strength training. And we heard you say you're doing pull-ups. And give us some guidance on that. What have you found to, you know, overcome obstacles regarding that and to continue being motivated? And what have you noticed?
Yeah, so I like to mix things up, not put all my eggs in one basket, so to speak. So I started during the pandemic when I didn't have gym availability. I started doing a lot of push-ups. And it was curiosity. Oh, I wonder if I can do 50. I wonder if I can do 100. At one point, I was up to 300. And so I still do 100 push-ups every day. And I incorporate in part of my yoga routine going, how many can I do fully to the floor? And so I've worked my way up this morning. I did 17. So every time, and it varies every day. Sometimes I can only do 13, but today I got up to 17. So my next goal is, can I try 18? And I'll do it to failure where I absolutely collapse at the last one. And that's what I've learned, that in order to really maintain and build muscle, you can't just do it passively. You have to do it to failure. And so heavy weights. But I'm really gun shy about lifting heavy barbells, for example, by myself, like at home without a trainer, without a spotter. So I do have a trainer that I go to, not regularly, periodically. And that has helped a lot. And I have something that I have invested in. It's quite pricey, but if it is in your budget, a Tonal. And I would rather have a Tonal than have a couch in my living room, because it allows you to increase the weight in 1 pound increments. And for me, this has been really important because, for example, when I am doing chin-ups, there's a bar, you can do a chin-up, you can do deadlifts, but I'm not going to increase it by 5 or 10 pounds. This is the difficulty I ran into going to the gym and doing machines. So I love them, but to increase the weight, you have to go up by 5 pounds. Some, they don't even offer a 5 pound. It has to be a 10 pound. I'll never get there. But when you could do the smaller increments, and this is AI assisted and it's guided. So if the weight is too heavy, it'll lower it automatically. And it's also, it gives you a strength score. So it's very motivating. And so this is what I have found personally has helped. The other, and I know JJ Virgin loves this, is a TRX. These are relatively inexpensive. I have it bolted to my wall, and I do, there's a pull-up version that I do every single day. And I like to do exercise snacks. So like, okay, I had 10 minutes before this recording. I'll go down and I'll do 15 pull-ups from the TRX, that version, or I'll do 20 air squats. And so just sneaking them in throughout the day has been really helpful. And a lot less cardio. When I was in my 30s and 40s, it was like every day I would wake up, I'd go to the treadmill, run 3, 4 miles, 5 miles, and work up a sweat, and that was it. And I do very minimal cardio these days, some high intensity interview training in interval a few days a week, but really strength and documented. So I have a scale that measures skeletal muscle mass. And have seen, so I had it first assessed with the InBody, which is the system I use, in 2016. And since then, I've gained like 6, 7 pounds of muscle. Again, it is possible, even though without doing anything, we're going to lose that strength.
No, I love it. I love it. And I just remember we were at Calavi and JJ and I took a TRX class together and she fell in love with it. She fell in love with it. So TRX is that, you know, it's basically not really a pulley system, but in a way. And it's great because you can pack it up, take it with you anywhere. And so the Tonal, is that like a home gym? What is the Tonal?
The Tonal is attached to your wall. You have to have a sturdy wall. You have to have enough room. And it has arms. And it's magnetized. It works over Wi-Fi. And there are programs a little like the Peloton where you can pick an instructor and you can get a class. I do a customized a la carte version where I'll just say, okay, today I'm going to do a bench press. I'm going to do triceps. I'm going to do an overhead lat pull down. It comes with a bench. And this is, again, because you can lower the weight. Let's say you're doing something that's too heavy, drop it 1 pound or 2 pounds. You control it such tiny increments,
which is why
I like it. But also, I think there are things you can put on barbells now. So let's say you have a 5 pound and you can add a little bit of weight. If you go on Amazon, they have these little attachments. So that is the way to do it. But definitely starting with a trainer because form is so important. Right. What I found is that one way of movement guides another. So I have been doing yoga for many years. I do a lot of inversions and it requires core strength and breathing. And that is so important with strength training. Similarly, I take ballet and I take other types of dance. And that training is useful even for weight training. So mindfulness as well, and doing things slowly and with intention. And a lot of that comes from yoga and Pilates as well. I love Pilates. So I think it's not just one form of movement. It's just spreading it out. And first and foremost, bringing joy to you, because if it's drudgery, if it's like, oh, I have to do this and I don't want to, then that mindset, that's going to cause tension. And so you're not going to be as successful as if you say, oh, this is like, this movement is like medicine, or I'm going to feel so strong and I'm going to feel so good, or put on music that you love, or work out with a friend, go to the gym with your friend at my local gym. There's a group of women who are my contemporaries, and they had a session with a trainer, and they work out as a group, and that can be really reinforcing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love it. And so recognizing that you can continue to be stronger, and actually before we started, you talked about how you just noticed you're picking your grandbabies up out of the crib a lot easier, and you'd been working on your deadlifts, and how that applies to functional exercises. We want to be able to doing that. We want to be able to get on the floor and get up off the floor easily. And I know I noticed getting into my big truck, right? Getting into my big dually truck. And it's important, that flexibility and movement and strength and balance, all of that, so that we can enjoy these quality of life, you know, exercises, these things that we enjoy doing, that we can keep doing it. And my friend Christine Skidmore says, everything you want to do every day. And so that we're continuing to keep that active mindset. Now, finally, I want to talk to you about, why should someone work with a health coach? As a physician, I use health coaches in my online practice and at my clinic at Carpathia Collaborative here in Dallas. We have health coaches with different areas of specialty, but the most important thing is, for me, using a health coach to improve the success, the compliance, and overcome the challenges and obstacles that we often have, perceived or real, in our way to help us achieve our goals. What are the most common reasons to work, you see people hiring a health coach and working with a health coach?
It is both for improving your physical health and your emotional health. So we are seeing this acute crisis in terms of the rise of chronic diseases. And these are diseases driven by lifestyle, as you know. And people have good intentions, and it's not lack of knowledge either. So they could be listening to podcasts. You can Google, you can get a lot of information about what to eat. You can get information about type of movement. But how do you transfer your intention into actually doing it? Because there's so many things that get in our way. And you find at the end of the day, oh, you know, I didn't get out and walk, or I like to do strength training, but I'll get around to it. Or you have a good intention in terms of what you want to eat and find that the same habits have just kicked in day after day and you feel disheartened. And so a health coach, the magic of health coaching is that it's not somebody telling you what to do. It's your role. You know, Dr. Anna is going to do the diagnosis, have a plan for you. But how do you carry it out when real life gets in the way and presents obstacles? And health coaches, it's completely what we call client-centered. It means that rather than meeting with someone who's the expert telling you what to do, they're going to listen. They're trained in listening. And we all need to feel heard and understood and have that ally. And they'll help you start with wherever you want to start. And there's so much noise out there in terms of eat this, don't eat that. Every day there's a new study that contradicts the study that we had the day before. There's a lot of confusion. Health coaches help you sort that out and make sure you are in the driver's seat. What do you want to do to start with? And they support you unconditionally. And they're playing an increasingly important role with your mental, emotional health, which we have an even worse crisis. And unfortunately, we have a growing shortage of mental health professionals. Many are retiring and leaving the profession. There are long wait lists. Often it's not affordable. Coaching is accessible and affordable. There are groups. We have our coaches who are helping people in groups where you get support from other people, which is a fantastic way to get that kind of support to change as you are on this journey with others as well. And it is also, I might add, an incredibly rewarding career. We just graduated another class and they all said that year with us learning to be a health coach was a personal transformation. And we're getting many people who are post-menopause, who are often preparing for a second career, just like I did. And coaching is accessible. There are no age limits. There are no limits like you have to go back and get an advanced degree. And you can really serve population that is truly needed because medical care is getting more and more challenging. You go to try and get a new appointment with a conventional doctor, there's wait lists. There people are closing their practices. You go to urgent care and it's anonymous. They don't know you. They don't know your history. Whereas a coach is that stable person in your life that you can rely on to be your guide, your ally, your educator, your support person.
I love it. I think that, you know, I love using my coaches. They each add something, you know, like you could see me every week, but that's going to be, you know, that's not realistic for most people. So working with a coach to support the plan to, you know, again, navigate the course and to motivate you along the way is just, it's powerful. That's the way to quick success. And tell our audience how they can find your health coaches.
Sure. Well, you can go to our website, which is functionalmedicinecoaching.org. You can go on Instagram. It's Functional Med Coach. My personal Instagram is Dr. Sandy. That's S-A-N-D-I. And I hope you will get in touch with us.
Thank you. Thanks so much for being on the show today. You have motivated me so much, and I know my audience will feel the same. So I want to keep that motivation moving forward in our lives and taking our one next right step at a time. And from today's call for my listeners, what is your one next right step? What were some aha things that you really learned that you feel like, okay, I am motivated? We talked about lessons that Sandra learned in her 70s, mainly staying curious, letting curiosity excite you and interest you and motivate you. And also the self-talk, the words we say to ourselves, how we're speaking to ourselves or how we're speaking to others about ourselves, like catching our talk, catching our, you know, the way we're presenting ourselves to the world and making those checks and balances so that we're not sabotaging ourselves and the really staying motivated through it all, working with a health coach, working to keep raising the bar for yourself, continuing to raise the weight, raise the goals, raise the rewards, all of that good thing. And then the, how important strength training is. I mean, did you guys hear like Dr. Sandy at 74 did 100 push-ups this morning? I mean, seriously, you guys like, and then 17 of them to failure. Okay. All right. So I got to raise my game. I am raising my game. You guys into raise it with me. And then again, the importance of working with a health coach, how that can really help us. I mean, even the best athletes have coaches. And that's something I tell my patients all the time. Even the best athletes have coaches. That just gets us stronger. I have coaches in different areas of my life. And so that motivating force to raise the bar, because the healthier we are, the healthier our life is, the healthier our relationships are. So I know those times where I cut the budget on my coaches or my trainers, and it just, for me, it sends me into a negative spiral versus when I'm on and I'm making sure that I'm hitting my targets, hitting my goals, and continuing to reevaluate that. There's no going backwards. There's no giving up. And we want to be naughty in our 90s, you guys, naughty in our 90s. So I thank you guys for joining us today. And I thank Dr. Sandy for being on the show. And you guys, more to come. I look forward to it. And one final thing I want to say today is that you are worth it. You are worth investing in yourself. You are worth not giving up on. You are your own best coach most of the time. And sometimes we need that extra help. I know I do. And so, you know, what comes up for you? Please let me know. I want to hear about it. Put a comment in or ask a question. I read all of them. So please let me know. And then also to update you, currently with our desire as a company, and certainly my desire to empower you with your hormones, I'm doing a hormone masterclass. And I will be talking about some of the key obstacles that get in our way, how to overcome them and achieve hormone balance, because it takes more than hormones to fix your hormones. So go to dranna.com/hormone masterclass and sign up now. Hope to see you there. Till next time.